Okay, good. Maybe before we pray, let me read the word of God, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see what God is going to speak to us this morning. This morning, I'm looking into the book of Psalms chapter 136. Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his love, steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful time that we can gather the way how we have done just to hear from you. I pray that you help us this morning to understand your word, and that we can, Father, be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to live the way that you want us to live, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us, is our comforter, that guides us, that convicts us, that helps us, Father, in our Father, understanding of your way, so that we can apply these truths into our hearts. So thank you so much once again, and we just pray that you are going to help us this morning. Help me to clarify your way, and help me to be bold enough, and help, Father, yes, all of us, so that as we hear your way, it can come to the hearts that are prepared to receive it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I think as I was reading, maybe you got tired of this word, like, for his steadfast love endures forever. I think that was, this is a psalm, and some where all these psalms that we find, they were kind of like being sung in the gathering of the children of Israel when they met to worship. They are kind of like songs. So it seems like it was a song that they were singing, and his steadfast love endures forever was kind like a chorus. So I believe that you did not get tired with that word. It's a chorus that is just helping us. Are we together? Thank you. Alright. So this morning, I was kind of like reflecting, you know, during this week, Because I didn't know that I'm going to preach today. I was scheduled to preach that next week, but Pastor Manda, Pastor Gideon is not around. Then he asked me. Then I said, what am I going to preach? You know. Then I started thinking, you know, thinking a lot. And I was thinking back at home when I was young. You know, we were raised in an environment where we were taught that we needed to give thanks. You know, always when somebody has done something good to us. So, for example, somebody has given us maybe money, we're supposed to say thank you for the money that you have given, or maybe he has given us a lift, or whatever that people have helped us, they have done something good to us. We were taught that we were supposed to be saying thank you for that good thing that they have done to us. But there is a problem with this kind of like mentality. We grew up understanding and knowing that, okay, we only give thanks when something good has been given to us or has happened to us. And for that, we kind of like grew up, you know, thinking like only the good things should happen to us and then we should give thanks. But when ordinary things, like having a father, or maybe drinking water, or maybe just sleeping and waking up, it kind of like felt like it was not something that we needed to give thanks for. But only, you know, when something that are good happened to us. But there's something here that we have raised in this Psalm 136, that is teaching us about, you know, like, what are the reasons for us to give thanks to God? Because we kind of like feel like, okay, God is indebted to us. You know, he needs to do something spectacular. Maybe I can say a miracle, maybe whatever. He needs to do something in our lives and then we can be grateful of that. Most of the times our prayers are full, you know, of like asking God and, you know, like help me, God, and all this kind of thing. Because of this mentality that I'm talking about, we are not grateful enough we don't give thanks to God, as this psalm is kind of like helping us to understand about the reasons that we need to give thanks to God. So I have five reasons here. I believe that there are a lot of reasons that maybe we can find in this psalm and even in the Bible. But this morning I've chosen these five reasons so that we can see that how or when or what does you know, this psalm teaches us about the reasons that we should give thanks to God. So number one, we find this in verse number one, where it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. So this verse tells us that we are supposed, I believe that it was also meant for the children of Israel, said that they were supposed to give thanks to God. Why? Because he is good. Okay? He is good. Not because he has done something that you need to understand, but in his being, God is what? Is good. We have this in Malawi. I don't know when. I haven't heard this here much. But we say God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. What does it mean? It means that God is not good because he does good things. But he is good because in his being, as God, he is what? He's good. Okay? For us, as people, we are good because maybe we are good to our wives, maybe we are good to our children, as lecturers, maybe we are good to our students, as students, maybe you are good to us lecturers, but as for God, that doesn't apply. He is good because his nature is what? He is good. And that is the reason for us to give him what? Thanks. And maybe in the scholars, we can see something, you know, that can kind of like helping us to see that why should we give thanks to God. And the scholar says, for his love endures what? Forever. It does not endure for some time. But he says,
For his love endures forever. And in Hebrew, this word, his mercy, I think in this, in our translation here, ESV, it says his mercy. But, it says his love endures forever. But this word is kesed in Hebrew. And it's kind of like, has the same connotation of, you know, like enduring mercy. Okay, the way how God is merciful, the way how God is love, and his loyalty to his promises. Are we together? It's like I'm teaching now. I always ask my students, are we together, so that they should follow me? So are we following? So it's the same way, you know, like kesed. So it can be translated as his what? His mercy or his love. Okay, so we as people, we as, you know, people who live in this world, we need God's what? God's mercy. We need God's mercy each and every time. We need God's love because it is because of his love that we are still standing today. It is because of his mercy that we are still standing. Because David in Psalm 51, he says, talking about his mercy, he said, I'm what? He said, from my mother's womb, I was born what? A sinner. Sin, I didn't learn to sin, but I was born just a sinner. So the time that I was conceived, I was what? A sinner. So we are not different from David. We have inherited this nature where we are sinners by what? By default. Okay? We are sinners by default. But because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, because of God's love, he has, that's what we were looking at 2 weeks ago, that because his love, he has made us what? Alive. It's because of his mercy that endures forever, that he has brought us to be where we are. Today we are saying we are Christians and we are going to be saved from God's wrath. Why? Do you think it was because of our goodness? No, it was because of what? God's mercy. It was because of God's love. The Bible clearly says in Ephesians chapter 2 that because of his love, he adopted us. It is because of his mercy that we are standing today. So we are to give thanks to God because he is good, and his good is shown, is being demonstrated in his mercy. That he is merciful to us, sinners. And because of that, we need to give thanks to God. Reason number two, we find it in verse number 2 and 3. It says, we are to give thanks to God because he is God. Because he is God. Just the fact that God is God, we are supposed to give thanks. We say, thank you God because you are God. He said, give thanks to the God of gods. Remember the context. That this psalm was written. It was the time when they were pluralistic, you know, that people, they were believing in what? Different gods. And then here the psalmist is saying, it's kind of like telling the audience to say, even though you are hearing about other gods, but there is God of what? All this God. It's kind of like he's a supreme. So because of that, you are supposed to give him what? Thanks. And there are three names of the of God that are here in these verses. Verses number 2 and 3. I remember in my first class, we looked at the names of God in our Old Testament study. And we said, number 1, God is what? Yahweh. And we said Elohim. And then we said Lord Adonai. So all these names, we find them here. You know, when it says give thanks to the God of God. And give thanks to the Lord of what? Of Lords. In Hebrew, it's clear there. That we have Elohim and also what? Adonai being found here. And also in verse number 1, when it says give thanks to the Lord, which is Yahweh. So we are to give thanks to God because he is God. He's far beyond any other philosophies, or maybe what people tell us about, you know, like this, I don't know, like we say people who are scientists, they are clever and they are doing this, but we say we have got God who is God of all the what?
all the gods. Who is the Lord of all what? All the lords. So for that, we are supposed to give what? To give thanks. And this God, he does what? He does wonders. He does wonders. In verse number what? Number 4, he says, to him who alone does great wonders. He's God who does great wonders. I remember, one time, you know, there was this scenario where, you know, people were kind of like, you know, this debate that people, they say, oh, there's no God, there's no God, and we were just like a mistake, it was a big bang, and all this kind of thing. And this person who was kind of like arguing to say there's no God, he came to a place where he realized to say no, he was wrong to say that there is what? There's no God. Because he argued to say that looking at the creation itself, then we come to a place that this is a wonderful way of somebody. So God is a great God who does what? Who does great wonders. The creation that we're going to see later on, it is part of him that he makes all these kind of things. He's God who does miracles. I think in this context, they were thinking about how God, you know, has shown his power to the children of Israel during, from the time that he rescued them from the power of Pharaoh to the time that he had in the wilderness until they took up the land. God really showed that he was great. He is great God. And for that, he said we need to give thanks to God because he is great. And his love endures forever. And what is the third reason? The third reason is the one that I was talking about from verse 5 to 9, that we are to give thanks to God because of creation. Okay? This creation that we see, sometimes we, because we were born into it, and we just take it for granted. We wake up, we see sun, and we are breathing, and we just feel like it's normal. That's the way how it's supposed to be. But I want to tell you that this creation, the Bible says, it says very clear in Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2, says, the creation reveals what? The glory of God. This creation, you know, like, here in South Africa it's very difficult, but if you come to Malawi, and then you wake up, like, from where I come from, it's a bush where there's no electricity. And then you wake up in a day, I mean at night, when there's a full moon, and then you gaze into the sky, that's when you can see that there is God and the creation is so beautiful. And the fact also that, you know that the sun, where the sun is, if you can just go a little bit down, we're all gonna die. You know that if the power that holds, you know that we are spinning, but we are still moving. We are not. Just imagine that power is not there. How are we gonna survive? We will chaos. But this creation is something that reveals about God that we need to wake up early in the morning, even though we don't have food. But we can say thank you, God, because of the way how you wondrously, you know, created the earth and everything. So the other reason for us to give thanks to God is not just because he has given us money or he has given us, you know, possibility to come and study, but that's because God has created this world. We need to come to a place for you to breathe, for you to eat, for you to move. You know, that way you don't fall. Why a cattle, or maybe like a goat cannot stand upright. It can force, but for us, we walk with two legs and we run and we do all these things. It's because of the power of creation. We need to look at the way how wonderful the creation is. Look at the seas, look at the oceans, look at the mountains. I like going to the mountains. I don't like ocean too much because I don't know how to swim. You know, so I go there, I just move in the sand. But I like mountains because I'm able to, you know, look at beauty and all these kind of things. And it makes me, you know, like, see that really God is great. And for that, we need to give God thanks. And then, point number 4, why should we give thanks? What are the reasons that we are to give thanks to God? It's because of the deliverance. So the story here, the context is that God delivered the people of Israel from the powerful hand of what? Pharaoh. We know the story from Genesis, Genesis to Exodus, how Pharaoh used to ill-treat the children of Israel. They were kind of like crying to God, saying, please God, they felt like there's no way that they could be delivered, free at last. But God did something very great. He delivered them. He delivered them through the miracles. The powerful hand of God was upon the children of Israel, that they were delivered from this king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And for that deliverance, the children of Israel, they were reminded to be giving thanks to God. And maybe you may say, okay, yeah, but what has that to do with me? I'm not the Jews, I'm not Israelites, and I'm not in Egypt. Why should I give thanks for God for that kind of thing? But I wanted to remind us this morning that God, the Bible has the same picture of deliverance, that we also have been delivered from the power of the arch enemy, who is the devil. Let us read very quickly from Colossians chapter 1, so that I should show you the picture of the deliverance that God has done to us, that we need to give thanks. For the children of Israel, it was the deliverance that he did to them, delivering them from the from Pharaoh. But for us, we have also our spiritual Pharaoh, who was the enemy, Satan. But God has delivered us, that we need to give thanks. From verse 12 to 15, it says this: giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Sin was our master. Satan was our master. But God, the same way how he delivered the people of Israel, he delivered us from the captivity of Satan, from the captivity of sin. And here Paul says, we have to give thanks for that. I don't know whether you give thanks for your salvation, for your redemption, that God has saved you. Because the Bible here says that we all were dead in sin. There is no way that you think that you're out of, you know, like, oh, I had something. There was nothing. There was totally nothing. Because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses. Because we are following the prince of this what? Of this world, which is Satan. We were under his, you know, our control. He was controlling us to do whatever he wanted us to do. But through his mercy, God delivered us. And the Bible says that we are supposed to give thanks. As the children of Israel, they were giving thanks to God because of their deliverance, that he delivered them from the captivity of Pharaoh. We are to give thanks because he has delivered us from the power of the darkness, from the domain of the darkness. My last reason here to give, the reason for us to give thanks, we find them from verse 16, 21, and 26, and it is because of his providence and because of his guidance. Because of his providence. Because God is the one who provided for the children of Israel throughout the journey in the wilderness. It was God, he gave them manna, he was protecting them, you know, from the powers of the other the enemies and all these other things. And for that, we are reminded to give him thanks. Let me read from verse 21. Part of this providence is the land that the children of Israel were given. He says, and he gave their land as a heritage for his steadfast love and was forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our lowly estate, for his love, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescue us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. So we see three things here. The first one, it was what? Land. That God was the one who gave them what? Land to the children of Israel. Land was very what? Very important to the children, because these people, you know, they were wandering in Egypt. They didn't have a place, but God did great work when he gave them the land to inherit. And for that, he said they are supposed to give thanks to God for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. We have also inheritance. It's not land. Okay, we were in our class today. Somebody asked a question. So it's like, you know, can't we do the, you know, the, because we are looking at the book of Judges, where God says, okay, you need to go, and Joshua, you need to go and take the possession of this land. And then somebody asked a question, can't we take the same, you know, like, with the land issue here in South Africa? Well, you can say, this is our land. Then I said, I don't know about that, but, you know, like, our inheritance is not land anymore. We have got a spiritual inheritance. And we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 and 14. I'm not going to read the whole verses, but I just wanted to show us that we have this spiritual inheritance. Verse 10, it says this. In him, verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. Okay? So it's not land anymore. But it's a spiritual inheritance where God has welcomed us. We have this spiritual inheritance where we know that we have got a place. So we know that God provided for the children of Israel land, but for us, he has given us the spiritual, that we are part of God's kingdom. Okay? So when we are moving, when you see me, you don't just see me as part of you. Because I have got what? Inheritance. I'm part of God, you know, I'm part of God's kingdom. And also we see here another thing here. He said he did not forget them. Okay? He said he remembered them. Verse 23, it is he who remembered us in our law, in the book of Judges, again and again. You know, the children of Israel, they kind of like sinned against God, and they were delivered in the hands of the enemy. And again, without tiring, God could send the deliverer, could send somebody to deliver them. And he said he has remembered us, God, and today, and until today, God still remembers us. He never forgets us. And he's never gonna forget us. Because in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he says, the word of God says, we should not be anxious. I think that's what it says. It says, what does it say exactly? Let me read exactly. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. It says this, keep your eyes free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Okay, so he always, the Lord is our helper, always he remembers us. There's no way he's never gonna forsake us. So whatever situation that we are going through, never come to a place where you can say, oh, God has forgotten us. He always remembers us. And for that, we need to give thanks to what? To God. And the providence of food. Okay? Whenever we have food, sometimes we feel, you know, because we have weight and we are earning money and all this kind of thing. We don't see, you know, with our, like rationally, we don't see how this food has come from God.
We sometimes we just say because it's a traditional, you know, because it's a tradition, we grew up in that kind of a context where we need to say, oh, thank you, God. But we, in our hearts, we feel like, oh, this food, it's me who works and I have this, you know. But the Bible in the book of Deuteronomy, God, Moses reminded the children of Israel to say, whenever you go in the land and then you are full, you are eating, you are full, and then you begin to think, oh, it's because I worked hard for this. He said, please make sure that you don't come to that place. Because it is God who has even given you what? Strength for you to wait. It is God. So God gave them food. We know how miraculously He gave them food, the manna and all these kind of things, the quails. For us, for you, whatever you have in your home, it's not because of yourself. It is because of His grace. It is because of His mercy that He is feeding us. Not only us, but even the ants, the birds, the crocodiles, the mosquito. And you know what mosquitoes feed on, huh? on our blood. But still it's God who is giving, you know, food to everything. It's God who is giving food to everything. He says, He who gives food to all flesh. His love endures forever. So now, what should we do with this? What should we do with all this? First, we are also bound to give thanks in everything. We are bound to give thanks in everything. It's a command. Okay? And notice the reason. The reason that we have seen here. They are not personal. Okay, they're not personal, but you know, they're general kind of like reasons. Okay, it's not because, give thanks because I have got a baby or I have got a job. No, it is give thanks because God is what? Is good. Give thanks because He has delivered. So it's not personal. We are bound to give thanks. We are commanded to give thanks to God. Ephesians 5 verse 20. We are to give thanks in everything. In everything, not some things. Because that's what the mentality that I grew up with. You know, giving thanks whenever something good happened to me. But the Bible tells us that we are to give thanks in everything. Second, what should we do? We are supposed to understand, okay, to say, when we don't give thanks, there are consequences. Okay, when we have reasons to give thanks to God, and then we don't give thanks to God, we need to understand that there are consequences, and it brings futility of thoughts and that darkening of our hearts, as it is in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul is saying that, you know, they had reasons to give thanks to God, but they did not give thanks. And what happened? There was a futility of thoughts and darkening of hearts. That's what is happening now. You know, with these people, where we say they are clever, they are scientists or whatever. Because they look at the creation and all these things, and, you know, instead of like giving thanks to God, they feel like, it was just a big bang and all this kind of thing. And what happened? Their hearts are what? Futile. And their hearts are what? Dark. And there's no way that they see this as God is doing. So same with us. If we keep on, you know, like living in the situation where we are not grateful, again and again, our hearts, when God is doing great things in our lives, we don't see. Our hearts are darkened. You know, what we do is constantly complain, instead of seeing what God is doing in our lives. What should we do? We need to repent of our ungratefulness. Because, I think I need to repent. Maybe you don't need to repent, but I need to repent because, you know, there are number of times that God has done great things in my life, number of times that I don't
giving thanks. I just take things like it's ordinary, you know, like it's just normal. For that, we need all of us to come to a place where we can come to a place where we can, you know, repent of our ungratefulness. You know, this habit of waking up in the morning when we are clenching our fists. Oh, there is nothing good that is happening to me and all this. And we need to come to a place where I say, please God, forgive us. You have done great things already in our lives that we need to give Him thanks. And lastly, we need to fully trust in Jesus Christ, you know, who always was thankful. We need to put in the areas that we have failed, we need to put our trust in what? In Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that he was always what? Thankful. So when we fail ourselves, what should we do? We need to trust in Jesus. For what? Because his life was full of gratefulness. He was full of praising God. He was full of thanking God. And for us today, this morning, if we find that we are lacking, we don't give God thanks, we need to put our trust in Jesus. And we can ask Him to help us, you know, to help us in the areas, you know, where we feel like, I need help. He's able to help us. He's able to come. I mean, He's able to help us through His Spirit to transform our heart that we can be people who can be grateful. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. I'm convicted for my ungratefulness. Looking at the things that you have done in my life, saving me, providing for me, but most of the times I always complain and forget about all these things that you are doing in my life. I pray also, Lord, for everyone this morning who has also been convicted, who has felt that they are also ungrateful, Lord, I just pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, may you help us, may you transform our hearts so that we can come to a place where we are going to give thanks. Sometimes maybe we may think that there are no reasons because we don't have food, we don't have money, we don't have things. But Lord, we can always look at this Psalm 156, read it again and again, and find these reasons that we have presented in this Psalm, that we can always come to a place where we are going to thank you for who you are, thanking you for the work that you have done of delivering us, thanking you, Lord, for this provision that you have provided for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.